Now this morning in the Holy Gospel, which I just read to you in English, I want to take these words, and I want to make this the text of my sermon this morning. These are the words. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in the clothing of sheep, but inwardly they are raging wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them. Those are solemn words. And let me say right at the beginning, there has never been a time since the day of Pentecost, down the long centuries of the church's history, when the church and its members have not been afflicted by false prophets. False prophets sometimes outside of the church, sometimes who have penetrated the church and have afflicted us from within. Catholics in this world always have to be careful and to beware of false prophets. The devil is very powerful. And his prophets, inspired by him, are always after our souls. They are always willing and ready to derail us from the Holy Catholic religion and to lead us into bypaths and false ways. And they are very strong. And probably in this age they are stronger than they have ever been in all history. The first false prophets that afflicted the church were leaders and members of the Jewish religion. The church came, first of all, it was founded with Jews. All the apostles, all 12 of them, were Jews. Practically all the converts in the beginning were Jews. And they found it a bit difficult in the beginning to see that theirs was a completely new faith that was completely separate from Judaism. But some of them were not very strong. And the pull of the synagogue and the temple was still quite strong on them. And so certain Jewish false prophets tried to suborn their loyalties and to destroy their faith in Christ. Those were the first false prophets that afflicted the church. Then after them, there came a strange assortment of rather weird people. Sorcerers, soothsayers, magicians, people of that type. Most of them, slaves. They were attracted to the persecution of the church and its members by the fact that our blessed Lord was a worker of miracles. He raised the dead to life. He healed the sick. He walked upon water. He rose from the dead, and he performed many miracles during his ministry in Galilee and Judea. And so various magicians and sorcerers came along to the early church and said, we are more powerful than your Christ. We can work with your miracles. And so they misled quite a few people in the church. They were the false prophets of that particular age. There's one mentioned in the book of Acts, Simon Magus, Simon the magician. He tried to get members of the church into his false way. Then after them, there came people from Eastern religions, mystery religions. In the Roman Empire, in the first and second centuries of our era, all these mystery religions that came from Egypt and Persia were very strong. There were Egyptian temples throughout the Roman Empire, where the mysteries of Osiris and Isis were performed. There was a mythical god whose religion came from Persia named Mithras. And these mystery religions had a sort of a sacramental system. For example, in Mithraism, which was very strong in the Roman army amongst the soldiers, the initiate went into sort of a chamber, and a bull was killed above him, and the blood of the bull ran down and covered his naked body. And that was the sacrament of initiation, their sort of baptism. And these religions tried to influence members of the church, tried to get them out of the church into their mystery religion. They were the false prophets. And then there came a terrible heresy. One of the most horrible heresies that's ever afflicted the church. And that's still in a different form, still affected. And that was Arianism. The false prophets of this sect proclaimed that Christ was not really God. That he was just a man, a good man, true, and a prophet. But he was not divine. And large sections of the church fell into this heresy, including the majority of the bishops. And the Pope at that time excommunicated the one person who was trying to get the church back into orthodoxy. A strange commentary on the church, but we've seen a parallel to that in this age. And so these false prophets, right down history, have affected the church. Now, today is the 14th of July. If we were in Paris tonight, the sky would be illuminated with fireworks. The tricolor, the French flag, of blue, white, and red, would be everywhere flying. There would be parades in every French town. Because today is the great French National Day, which corresponds to our 4th of July. In the year 1789, on the 14th of July, the Bastille in Paris was stormed. The Bastille was a prison in which there were many political prisoners. And that was stormed, and the prisoners were free. And that was the beginning of the French Revolution. Now, the French Revolution is one of the greatest disasters in all history. Although it's being celebrated today in France, and every 14th of July. Because the French Revolution was the deadly enemy of the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church. And it brought into the world a completely new and much more vicious spirit. And it founded the philosophy known as secular humanism, which still afflicts the world. After the French Revolution, the Roman Catholic Church in France was in ruins. The churches were closed. The priests were in prison unless they conformed to the new religion. The great cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris had become a pagan temple. France was ruined from the Freemasonic lodges, and Christ was considered an enemy of the state. And since that time, the great heresy in the world that we live in has been the heresy of secular humanism. And its proponents are the false prophets of our age. We have in our time some of the great damage that has been inflicted upon the world by secular humanism. Secular humanism exists in many forms. It exists as liberalism, religious liberalism. It exists as modernism. It exists as atheism. It exists as Marxism, dialectic materialism. But it has inflicted great damage upon the world. Its greatest triumph has been the destruction of the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church of the ages. The official Roman Catholic Church suffered 20 years ago complete shipwreck. And our little traditional groups, we who belong to these little traditional groups, are those who managed to get into the lifeboats when the ship wrecked. And so, we live in an age when secular humanism is paramount. Those who believe in secular humanism, I believe, are only a minority in this country and in all Western countries. But it's a minority that is well equipped. It understands the art of propaganda. It has got control of the media, the newspapers, the magazines, the television, the radio. It has got control very largely of the educational system. It's in the saddle. And as a result of secular humanism, not only has there been a spiritual collapse, but there has been a moral collapse. We live today, in all Western countries, in a moral disaster area. Morals have crashed. The Ten Commandments are seen today just as an interesting relic of the past. And the world is in moral confusion. And this great and wonderful country, which is a bastion of freedom, and which is the hope of Christian civilization, this country has been grievously wounded and afflicted. by this moral collapse. Now, during the last several months, when I've been able to do it, I've gone out to California to take over the parish for a few days, or a week, or 10 days, maybe. Father Sandberg, who is one of our priests, whom many of you know. We have two missions in California. One is in the San Francisco Bay area, about 20, 25 miles from downtown San Francisco, near Walnut Creek. The other is at Stockton in the Central Valley of California. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago today, I was out there, saying masses in those two parishes. On a previous visit out there, on one of the days I was there, I decided that I wanted to go up to see the Napa Valley. I'm sure most of you know about the Napa Valley. The best wine produced in North America today is produced in the Napa Valley in California. And it lies just north of San Francisco Bay, inland a bit, between two ranges of mountains. It's a beautiful valley. It reminds me of valleys I've seen in Italy. On both sides of the road, there are vineyards that go up into the hills. It was settled, first of all, by Italian immigrants who came there, and they imported grape stock from their native land. And they founded the wine industry. And California wines are extremely good. They're very good indeed. And this valley is a beautiful place. I've never seen it, although I know California quite well. So on one day, while I was doing masses in Walnut Creek with Buster Sandberg, I decided to drive after mass up to the Napa Valley and go these 60 or 70 miles of its length. And I left after mass without having any breakfast. When I crossed the estuary of San Francisco Bay and headed north on California Highway 29, I came to the large town of Vallejo. And I stopped there where I saw a big AM along the road and went in to get my McDonald's breakfast. And I found the paper, a newspaper, as I went in. I took it with me. And I have it here in my hand, a part of it. After I looked at the headlines, I turned to the editorial page and I saw this article. And I want to read you three excerpts, very short excerpts, from this article. So I ask you to listen carefully. I read. Early in April 1981, along the Swiss-French frontier, customs agents halted for inspection a truck coming in from Eastern Europe. The truck was loaded with frozen human fetuses, the product of the abortuaries of Hungary and Yugoslavia. They were being shipped to the laboratories of French cosmetic firms. As a certain French newspaper reported, many beauty establishments are preparing in France, thanks to the use of living cells taken from the fetus, they are preparing certain skin preparations. The cells from the human bodies apparently add luster and resiliency to older skins. That's the first quote. Here's the second one. These unborn children, referring to unborn children who have been aborted, do not die painless deaths. According to California law, a newborn cat or dog is somewhat protected from suffering. It may not be killed other than with drugs or chloroform or in a compression chamber. As Dr. Vincent Collins, professor of anesthesiology at Northwestern University, reminds us, unborn children are less fortunate. A saline abortion causes the fetus to feel the same agony that an adult would feel who has suffered burns over 80 or 90% of his body. The fetus squirms, throws itself around, and shows a total formation pattern of withdrawal. That's the second quotation. the Second American Revolution by Virginia constitutional lawyer John Quaker. 6 months after Roe versus Wade, that was the Supreme Court judgment, as you know, one Dr. Peter A.J. Ebb of Case Western Reserve University reported to the American Pediatric Research Society on research that he and his associates had conducted on 12 babies who had been born alive by hysterectomy, abortion, up to 20 weeks. These men took the tiny babies and cut off their heads, decapitated the babies, and cannulated the internal carotid arteries. They kept the diminutive heads alive, much as the Russians kept dogs' heads alive back in the 1950s. I read this article, and I felt it frozen with horror. It's horrible. God help us. This happens in this wonderful, great country. This country of compassion. This country which is always willing to help anybody in need anywhere in the earth. And all of our built on to that beautiful Napa Valley, through that wonderful scenery, everywhere I look, I kept seeing 12 babies' heads being kept alive. How horrible, how obscene, how dreadful. The demons of hell could never think up anything worse than that. And yet that happens here. That is the moral collapse of which I speak. False prophets have brought this thing upon us. Abortion is a horror. It's intolerable. It can't go on existing. I don't see why God doesn't destroy the whole world with all this going on here. I'm sure you agree. But let me say this. Abortion is only part of a package. It's probably the most dramatic part of the package, and in some ways the most terrible part of it. But it's part of the package. There are other things that go along with abortion that have been foisted upon us by the secular humanists, who've got control of the media, got large control of the educational system. They brought these things upon us. Along with abortion go other things, pornography. This country and other Western countries are flooded with hideous, obscene garbage, and much of it is aimed at small children. Is it all? We live in an age in which pornographers try to excite the sexual passions of mankind. And then abortion comes along to cut off the roots of that passion. That's a horrible sequence. And that is what is going on in this great country. There are other things too. There's a matter of God being banished from the public schools. We just recently read that in Alabama and other states, the Supreme Court has ruled that not even a moment of silence can be kept for prayer. Because they say that's bringing religion into the affairs of the state. They've interpreted the Constitution of this country completely wrongly. And they've tried to drive God out of the public schools, and they've succeeded to a very large extent. Then there's the matter of the unilateral disarmament of America. We know, everybody in the world knows, including the enemies of this country, that if this country is disarmed, the world goes down. That's the end. Because this country is the bastion of freedom. It's all that keeps the world from being completely subjugated by a brutal, tyrannical system which would make us all into robots or zombies. That goes along with this too. Then there's the matter of the things that are taught in the schools of this country and other Western countries. Creationism is not taught. It's not taught in the schools today, except perhaps by certain teachers who happen to be good Catholics or good Protestants, as the case may be. It's not taught that God created the world. It's taught that the whole thing began with some gas out there floating in space. And then suddenly there was a big bang. And solidified gas shot to all corners of space. And that created the universe. In other words, the God, according to secular humanism, that created this world as a big splotch of gas. That's taught to our children. And then they're taught that mankind, the creation of God, the image of God, is a sort of an overrunner of the ape. That the ape and mankind have a common ancestor. And that's taught not as a theory, but as a solid scientific fact. And is believed by a very large percent of people today. There are other things that go along with this. But this is the package of which abortion is a part. And this is the work of false prophets. The false prophets who have got control of the system of communication in our age. And who pump their foul voice into the lifeblood of this country and other countries. Now I do not believe for a moment that the people of this country, in their majority, approve of this sort of thing. I believe that the people of this country are good people, fundamentally. The overwhelming majority of them. The people who sit out on their front porches on the summer evening. The people who, 10 days ago, were out watching the 4th of July parades. I do not believe that those people are bad people. I don't believe that they want babies killed. I don't believe they want them decapitated and then their little heads kept alive. I don't believe they want them to be killed in saline solution or by compression. I don't believe they want any of those things. I don't believe they want pornography. I don't believe they want this country disarmed and left as a prey to its enemies. But a minority has forced this upon us. We're the victims of this hideous, horrible system of sectarianism that has got into the saddle today and is calling the hit. I don't believe that the people who live in Peoria, Illinois, or who live in Sacramento, California, or in Orlando, Florida, or Binghamton, New York, I don't believe they want any of that sort of thing. I don't believe that the people who go to the shopping centers of our country, or who go to Disneyland, or to North Bay Farm in LA, I don't believe they want this sort of thing, but it's been forced upon them. But it's intolerable. And as Catholics, as believers, in our holy faith, our very holy faith, we can't tolerate this thing. We traditional Catholics are very lucky people. We've got the true Mass. Our children learn the Baltimore Catechism, which is the truth. The only truth. We have benediction. We have confession. We can have novenas. We can say the rosary. We have the old ways of the church. We're very lucky. But we have to fight to keep that. We've got to be militant Catholics. We've got to sit back and enjoy ourselves. We've got to be militant. First of all, we need allies. We're not very strong numerically. We seem to look for the lifeboats 20 years ago. There are not so many of us in the world. We don't have great resources. We don't have much in the way of propaganda sheets to spread through the country. So we have to have allies. And we do have allies. We have a lot of allies. First of all, we have the fundamentalist basic Protestants. Now the difference between a Catholic and a Protestant is a very, very huge one. And I'm not, I repeat, not an ecumenist. I don't believe in all this ecumenical garbage that is being pumped out by the North Orthodox Church today. I believe that between the Protestant of any kind and me or you, that there is a world of difference. And religiously we cannot cooperate. But morally we can. Morally we've got to. You know, after all, consider your church today. Thank God it still is fighting abortion to some extent. But its fight against abortion is weakening all the time. Because there are groups in it who call themselves Catholic for free choice. With a lot of nuns in it. Seems to be dominated to a large extent by nuns, another sort of nun, whom I don't mean to consider nun. And also, even some of the bishops are wobbling on the subject of abortion. And then we have that strange phenomenon, which I find absolutely disgusting, of the so-called Roman Catholic politicians, senators, governors of certain states. A certain laity who was in the news a year ago. They call themselves Catholic, and yet they say, oh, I don't believe in abortion. Oh, no. But I believe in freedom of choice. Those who want an abortion should be able to have one. Now, those people call themselves Catholics. In other words, what they're saying is this. I don't believe in murder. I wouldn't commit murder. But anybody who wants to commit a murder, let them do so. They should have freedom of choice. That's in effect what they're saying. And that is disgusting. I want to see that type of Catholic, so-called Catholic politician, right out of it. Out of the Senate. Out of the governor's chair. Out of our public life altogether. They are content. So we have to about ours. We have fundamental problems, like the Southern Baptists, who are very strong, especially in the South. Jerry Cole and his moral majority. On moral grounds, I'm in agreement, although he and I are opposite poles in religion. And never the twain shall meet. Then there are the Mormons, who have a strange religion. I don't agree with any of them. But morally, they're good. They're strong in Utah, where they dominate. And in several other western states where they have tremendous influence, including California, the most populous state of all. The Mormons. Then there's the Mennonites. They're not very numerous, but they're very sound on abortion. Some years ago, I used to go out on Wednesday afternoon to picket in front of a hospital where they performed abortions. And the group of people, there were about 100 of us who went out regularly. There were Roman Catholics. There were Mennonites. I think there was one Mormon. The head of the whole thing was a Presbyterian doctor. There were one or two Anglicans. And there were several people there who didn't have any particular church affiliation, but who were influenced still by Christian values. And that's another group we have in this country who are our allies. Just decent people who no longer go to any church or profess any religion, but who still believe in the Ten Commandments. And so we must call on those people to cooperate with us. Because we need allies to fight this horrible thing. And we've got them. We've got them. But we ourselves must fight. First of all, we must fight with prayer. You know, 200 years ago, the whole of Christendom in Western Europe was threatened by the Mongolian Turks. The Turks had excellent armies, navies, and they threatened the whole of Europe. They got as far as Vienna into Western Europe. They took over practically all of the Balkans. And it looked as though they were going to overrun the whole of Europe. And what did people do? What did Catholics do? They got out their rosaries. And they said the rosary against this power. And the Turks were defeated at a naval battle. And that turned the tide. So we must go to... In all sincerity, I will not vote for a dole man if he believed in abortion. If he was against creationism, they called it a public school. If he was against prayer in a public school. If he favored pornography. Or if he stood for the abolition of the armaments of this country. I would not even vote for a doctor of that. And it's our duty when we exercise our voting privilege to find out exactly what our candidate that we're going to vote for believes on those issues. And I think that every one of us should, in the back of his mind, have a hit list. And on that hit list should be those people. Whether they be senators, representatives, whether they be on boards of education, wherever they may be, who are secular humanists and favor the aims of the secular humanists. And so our Lord told us to beware of false prophets. We shall beware. A Catholic must always beware. Otherwise, our holy faith shall be destroyed in this world. Christ will be left without witnesses. He has promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against at least a remnant. And we must keep that remnant strong. We must beware of all prophets. We must banish them from our society. And we must pray and hope and wait for